In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It was a fate worse than their most terrifying nightmare. For years, 10 of Jacob's sons had lived with a terrible secret. They had sold their own brother Joseph into slavery and had let their father Jacob think he had been killed by wild animals. It had all seemed so appropriate at a time. The arrogant little dreamer and daddy's boy had not been so cocky in the end. He had cried and pleaded for his life when they let him down into an old well. Most of them had hated him so much they were ready to let him die. Only Reuben and Judah had second thoughts. Judah finally had convinced them to sell the boy into slavery for 20 pieces of silver instead of let him die. They thought the spoiled brat had finally gotten what he deserved. What they had not counted on was the depth and the anguish of their father's sorrow. It was one thing to hurt the dreamer. It was quite another to see their father lost in sorrow, grieving away his life. Their hearts were torn, but it was too late. Even Reuben and Judah were caught in the lie. No one dared say a word of what had really happened. Perhaps time would heal his sorrow. But of course, time didn't heal. The hurt remained in Jacob's eyes, and nightmares haunted their sleep. As bad as this was, the brothers could never have imagined what would happen when they had gone down to Egypt to buy food for their starving families. Joseph wasn't only alive, but he had the authority of Pharaoh himself. At first, he had not revealed himself to them. He had tested their integrity. He had jailed Simeon and forced them to bring his younger brother Benjamin to Egypt. But when he saw Benjamin, it was just too much. He was so overcome with emotion that he fled the room and found a place to cry alone. Later, when he revealed himself to his brothers, he first sent the servants out of the room and then began to weep. He cried so loudly that the whole palace could hear. Through his tears, he proclaimed, "I am your brother Joseph." And he stunned. His brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. The years of silent collusion, the years of deceiving their father, were all terribly undone. Now their father would know their wickedness, and Joseph would obtain revenge. Joseph made it clear that he didn't want revenge. In Genesis chapter 45, he declared, "God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to keep alive for you many survivors." But the brothers didn't hear. They didn't hear Joseph. Their minds were overwhelmed with guilt and panic. They felt like they were drowning. Joseph hugged Benjamin and kissed each one of them, but they didn't trust him. With reservation, they began to talk with him. He was so energetic and seemed genuinely happy to see everyone. He was excited about seeing their father Jacob. He wanted them to bring their families to Egypt where he could provide for them. He acted as though their betrayal were really a blessing. Surely he was deceiving them. Surely he would get his revenge when the right moment came. The brothers could not trust him. The years that followed were filled with blessings. Their father Jacob seemed to be reborn when he was reunited with Joseph. Pharaoh gave them land in the rich delta area of the Nile River. Their families and livestock prospered. Yet the brothers couldn't really enjoy the prosperity. They had no real peace or joy because they kept wondering when Joseph would get his revenge. It was beyond their comprehension that their betrayal could truly be forgiven. Over the years, the brothers began to develop a theory. Joseph is being nice to us for the sake of our father. When he's gone, our lives will be in danger. So it was that they began to formulate a plan. After Jacob died, they would approach Joseph saying that their father had wanted their lives to be spared. And the dreaded day finally came. In his 147th year, Jacob died. At his request, Joseph and the brothers took his body back to Canaan to be buried in the family plot. After returning to Egypt, the brothers put their plan into motion. They asked to see Joseph and sent a message. Your father gave this command before he died. Say to Joseph, please forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sin because they did evil to you. And now please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father. And Joseph wept after hearing this. When the brothers came before Joseph, they threw themselves down saying, we are your servants, your slaves. And Joseph just sighed. How could he assure his brothers that they truly were forgiven? How could he help them be free of their guilt? What else could he do to remove the dark cloud of fear from their lives? He answered, do not fear, for am I in place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. So do not fear. I will provide for you and for your little ones. Joseph invited his brothers to see the bigger picture. God was at work here, keeping the covenant promises he had made to Abraham and Isaac. He was building a nation. He was preparing a people for the promised land. He was preparing a blessing for the peoples of the whole world. Like his great-grandfather Abraham, Joseph believed these promises, and in faith, he was content to wait on God. Because of the joy set before him in these promises, he was willing to suffer harm from his brothers without revenge. Because of the joy set before him, he was willing to forgive and let the promises unfold. Joseph lived his life fully, joyfully, free from the poison of revenge, trusting God's promises. His brothers lived little lives, lies filled with jealousy, revenge, guilt, and dread. They constantly worried about how they might probably lose a little happiness for themselves. And Joseph invited them to share his joy, to accept forgiveness, to lift their eyes from themselves to God. A young man was telling his grandmother how everything was going wrong. Difficulty at school, family conflicts, health problems, and a host of other concerns. Grandmother was about to make a cake, and she asked the young man if he would like a snack, and of course, he did. "Here, have some cooking oil," Grandma said. "Yuck," he replied. "How about a couple of raw eggs?" she continued. "Gross, Grandma." Then "would you like a little flour? Or how about some baking soda?" "Grandma, these are all pretty yucky. You can't eat that stuff." To which grandmother responded, "Yes, you are right. All these seem pretty bad by themselves. But when you put them together in the right way, they make a delicious cake. And God works in the same way. All the yucky stuff makes something wonderful. God promises all things work together for good. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob kept his promises. He remained faithful to the bigger picture. In the fullness of time, he sent his son born of Mary, a descendant of Abraham. Like Joseph, Jesus suffered at the hand of his own people. They sold him for 30 pieces of silver. But unlike Joseph, his life wasn't spared. They hung him on a cross to die. For the sake of God's bigger picture, for the sake of a people saved for an eternal promised land, for the sake of the joy set before him, Jesus committed his life into the hands of God. And 3 days later, God was faithful. He raised Jesus from the grave. He raised Jesus to offer forgiveness, not revenge, to those whose sins nailed him to the cross. Jesus weeps for us and for the world when he sees us missing the joy and beauty that surrounds us because we are consumed with prying a little happiness from life through deception. When he sees us living unforgiving lives, he invites us to join Joseph in seeing the bigger picture, in trusting God's promise, the promise that there is forgiveness in the blood of Jesus. Those who believe in him are heirs of the eternal promised land. Trusting this promise, there is freedom. Freedom from guilt, freedom from fear, freedom to forgive, freedom to see and enjoy the beauty that surrounds us. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.